Zechariah chapter 4, verse number 6, please. We're thinking about our radio station, Share-a-thon, coming up, starting tomorrow morning, by the way. Also talking about our own church here, Christian school, how the Holy Spirit's filling will change our ministry. Been to Paul Chappell's place a couple of times for a leadership conference. And out there one time he made a statement. I'll never forget the statement. He said something like this: there are three ways to do the work of God. Fellas, he was teaching, there are three ways to do the work of God. Number one, you can trust in yourself. Number two, he said, you can trust in others. Or number three, you can depend on the power of God. Now, that's three ways you can do the work of the ministry. You can either trust in yourself, trust in others, or depend on the power of God. Don't know about you, but I want to depend on the power of God. Don't want to trust myself, don't want to trust others. Want to depend on the power of God. Judah, in our text setting in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse number 6, Judah had literally run out of resources and was very low as far as energy is concerned. And they're facing fierce opposition here in Zechariah chapter 4. From every side, they're facing opposition. The challenge was to rebuild the temple and their homeland, and it was such a difficult battle to do. The task was humanly impossible, but that was God's plan. 70 years they had spent in captivity humbled that nation. Those 70 years humbled that great nation. But Cyrus of Persia allowed these Jews to return to their wasted homeland. And those first return years were exciting, to say the least. Families began to rebuild their homes, and they laid the foundation, they did, for the temple. But then opposition came, and then construction ceased. And the people stopped caring. The work of God stood still. Then God sent two prophets, two preachers, Haggai and Zechariah, to shake Judah out of their lethargy. He did not send, I want you to notice, he did not send teachers. He did not send comedians. He did not send poets. He did not send praise bands. No, sir. He sent preachers. You know why he sent preachers? Because the nation desperately needed revival. And revival cannot come unless the Word of God is preached. He sent preachers to bring revival. They were sent to remind the nation why God had brought them out of all this captivity and why God had challenged them to finish the task. Ladies and gentlemen, today in America, in our great nation, we are faced with an overwhelming opposition to our ministries. Immorality in our nation is literally running rampant. It really is. And I'm telling you this morning that many are worshiping the creation more than they are the great Creator. There's no doubt about that. The opposition is great, and our challenge today is even greater. Over 6 billion people need to hear the gospel. In our local ministries, our marriages are in trouble. In our local ministries, our children, for many, in many cases, are in utter rebellion against the things of God. In our local ministries, we need somebody to continue the work. The work must go on. The work must continue. That gospel preaching radio station must be supported. That station down in Coshocton must get started. It's got to be done. The work of God has got to go on. The Church of Jesus Christ right here at the Harvest Baptist Temple must go on. We must preach the gospel to the world. It's got to be done. There's too much to do for churches to simply hold on until Jesus comes. So how did Judah finish the task? I asked myself as I studied, what was the message God gave through the prophets? Go back with me to the text setting, Zechariah chapter 4, verse number 6, please. What does it say? Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Many people try to do ministries in very different ways in our generation. In fact, many ministries are culture-driven. They like the world, and they like the world so much that they mix a little bit of God with the world. To me, that's not how you do it. Other ministries are people-driven ministries. The church has now become a social club and an opportunity to network one with another. I really don't think that's what God had in mind either. Some ministries are bottom-line driven. What I mean by that is that the church is run just like a business. But few ministries, and here's what I think it should be, few ministries are really spirit-led ministries. Oh, we are culture-driven. We are people-driven. We are business-like driven. But we're not spirit-led ministries like we ought to be. We ought to allow the Holy Spirit of God to influence our church every single service. And somebody needs to say amen. And somebody needs to say praise the Lord. Somebody else needs to raise a hand. Somebody needs to have the wet eye and the tear running down their face. Somebody needs to run to an altar. Let God have his way in every church service. And everybody ought to feel the freedom and the liberty to come to the altar of Almighty God. Somebody said the other day as they visited our church, wow, your church gets right in your face, don't you? And it wasn't even me preaching. But church ought to be spirit-led. If you can fully explain, and I heard this at Brother Chapel's pastor's meeting or leadership conference, and I thought about this and thought about this. He said, if you can explain your ministry, something's wrong. Wow. I never thought about it quite like that. He said, if you can fully explain the ministry of your local church, something is wrong. He said, we ought not to be able to look back and figure it all out how we did it. We ought to be able to look back and wonder, wow, how did all this happen? How did this happen like this? How did it all come together? And it's the mighty work of Almighty God that does it. It's not us. It's not our ability. It is the ability of Almighty God. And I agree. What problems did the Jews face then? How are they so similar to our problems today? I want to take a lesson from Zechariah's day and find the strength to continue the work. How do they do that? And most importantly, how can we gain access to the same unlimited reserve of power? So I have a three-point outline. Number one is this. Would you write this down? There was an astounding problem. There was an astounding problem. To put it simply, the Jews lost faith. They had enemies on all their borders who did not want to see Jerusalem rebuilt. Instead of continuing by faith, they became discouraged and apathetic. Faithlessness is a growing trend in our day. Did you know that recent studies have now indicated that the fastest growing religion in America, do you know what it is? I know you're going to think it's something else, but I'll tell you. Do you know what the fastest, this is what the stats say, the fastest growing religion in America is? Do you know what it is? Anybody like to guess? The fastest growing religion in America is no religion. Can you believe that? Yeah, we all thought maybe Islam or whatever, but the fastest growing religion, according to the stats, say the fastest growing religion is simply no religion. In fact, the stats say that 16% of Americans say they belong to no church and do not identify with any religious group and don't want to. A combination of secularism and pluralism is setting a hostile tone toward the Bible-based Christianity that we've had in our country for literally years. Listen, media promotes all manner of immoral lifestyles. And they are accepted and praiseworthy. And it's not right. Maybe we ought not feel adequate for ministry. In fact, if you don't feel inadequate for ministry in this environment that we live in, we're either prideful or delusional. I'm telling you right now, we are not adequate for this time of life. This world is filled with voices crying out against Christ. An honest look at the powers that would stop us from fulfilling God's commission should leave us feeling helpless at best and hopeless at worst. Yet God says, go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 18. Yet God doesn't want us to focus on the opposition. His command is for us to, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Faith is looking at things we can't see. That's faith. I'm looking at things I can't see. It's finding the answer outside our own understanding. Listen, if you can explain your life and your family and your church work, and you can all explain it, there might be something wrong. Because when God moves, we can't explain it. It's amazing what God is able to do and how God is able to change lives. We can't do it, but God can. Oh, how we need the Holy Spirit's fire and power in our lives to accomplish anything for God. One of the reasons why we're not accomplishing much is because we can reason it out and we can do it ourselves. It's not God. Post-exile Judah had a diminishing faith and they tolerated a desecrated temple. Haggai cried out. Look at Haggai chapter 1, verse 3, 4, and 5. He cried out the word of God against Israel. He said, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, it is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? That's a question. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Don't let the house of God lie waste. You're in your houses, you're in your finery, you got everything around you nice. But the house of God and the work of the Lord lies waste. He said, don't do it that way. Do something for God. As I got to look at that verse of Scripture, I thought about our church and our radio stations and how we want to influence the world for Christ. And we dare not drop the ball here. We need to raise $57,000 in our spring share-a-thon. It starts Monday morning. Now, we actually need 95,000 plus to operate the station, but we're trying to pick up 57,000 here and the rest of it in the fall share-a-thon. We have two share-a-thons a year. Let's not let our houses be all beautiful. Let's not let our cars be all beautiful and forget the things of God. He said you sit in your sealed houses, but you're letting the work of God lie waste. Let's not allow that. They had their own houses built, but God's house laid in waste. They put earthly matters before eternal matters. Look in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Haggai was calling them to the same principle that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. What does he say? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The Jews had become satisfied with minimal earthly comforts and no eternal consequences. The Jews had limited resources. They had enemies all around them, but by his power, it was possible, Jesus said to his disciples. Look at Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Do you believe that for your family? Do you believe that for your church? You believe that for your radio station? Nothing shall be impossible to you. We're talking about how the Holy Spirit's filling can change our ministry. Are we left to worry and give excuses of what cannot be done? God forbid. The problem is astounding, but as Lester Roloff one day quoted and said, never doubt in the night what God gave you in the light. Man, I like that statement. Never doubt in the night what God gave you in the light. Some years ago, we had a burden for Christian radio stations. We wanted a networking of stations, and God is allowing us to gradually do that. We have a station in Clyde, Ohio. We have one in Findlay, and now we're getting ready to open up, hopefully the last of April. The switch will be flipped on down in Coshocton, Ohio, and one more station will be added to the networking of WHVT. It's called WHVY down there, 89.5. Oh God, give us insights. Give us supporters. Give us helpers. I got to looking, if we need to raise $57,000, I need 190 Gideons at $300 a year. That's $25 a month to support the Christian radio station. That's nothing. We can do that easily. But somebody says, well, I can't give $300. I want to give $1,000. Can I do that? You certainly can. Well, I want to give $5,000. Help yourself. We'll make you out. And how many Gideons that would be? We'd make you all those. Listen, don't ever, like Lester Roloff said, doubt in the night what God has given you in the light. Roman numeral number 2. Not only do we have an astounding problem, but we have an amazing power. Only when we face astounding problems are we able to see God's amazing power. I don't really mind. Do you mind facing astounding problems? Do you mind that? Not if you can see God's amazing power. Come on, amen. You know, there might be an astounding problem, but boy, if you've got an amazing power of God, hey, you're in good shape. In your life, what is that astounding problem that's facing you? There's some amazing power. There are times in ministry we feel depleted, don't we? Sometimes in ministry, and I know that some of my leaders feel this way too, we feel weary, as if we can't go on. We believe all the right things and our strength is gone. Vance Havner once said, and I've read every book by Vance Havner. Vance Havner was a tremendous older writer. He got some powerful thoughts. And Vance Havner said this, you can be straight as a gun barrel doctrinally, but be empty spiritually. And I know a lot of people just like that. Vance Havner said it. I want to quote it just like he said it. You can be straight as a gun barrel doctrinally, but empty spiritually. Oh, how many people I know just like that. We have all the form, but none of the filling. When we reach the end of our own resources, we need to find that the unlimited reserve that God has for us is still there. We need the message of God that God gave to Zechariah for Jerusalem. God gives a vision. Look at Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1 through 3 now. God gives a vision of oil as a picture of his unending strength and resources. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep and said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other on the left side thereof. In the temple, you probably know this, the priest would have to refill the lamps as the oil ran out. But the lampstand which Zechariah saw was different than that. This lampstand was flanked by two olive trees, and those two olive trees were continually pouring oil into a bowl, which filled the lampstand. In the vision, God was sharing with Jerusalem that God would provide the unfailing strength they needed to finish the task. That's how we have to look at this. God is going to supply the oil, the needed strength to complete the task. God does this. God's Spirit would sustain them through even the darkest times. God has anointed us, ladies and gentlemen, with the same oil, the same Holy Spirit. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 21, now he which establisheth us with you in Christ hath anointed us in God. We can be filled with the same Holy Spirit that aided the Jews. What's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 say? Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Every single one of us can be filled with the Holy Spirit of God on a continual basis because God fills us. When we are saved, we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He comes in to live and dwell, and we can have that Holy Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. If we want to do a job for God, we must have God's Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Listen, here's the title of the message. The Holy Spirit's filling will change our ministries. That's what we need more than anything else, is the Holy Spirit's power. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit. That power is available today through the Holy Spirit, but it's often neglected. In fact, if you'll find 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, or just write the reference down, be on the screen. It says right there, quench not the Spirit. There's so many people who we need the Holy Spirit's power. We need that touch of God. But there's so many people who are quenching the Holy Spirit. But he said in his word, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's neglected because of sin. In fact, go with me to James chapter 4 and verse number 6. Through bitterness or anger, we suppress the work of God. Sometimes we have bitterness. Sometimes we have anger. And sometimes we suppress the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. Sometimes it's neglected because of pride. But what does James say? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. Listen, everybody. But he gives grace unto the humble. He resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God knew Jerusalem's difficulty. He told them, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Might referred to military strength, I think. Jerusalem had no army. They were a small remnant stripped of all their former wealth and power and prestige. Power, I think, refers to the strength of the people. And they were a tired people led by an equally tired governor. This is why God reminded them in Haggai chapter 2, verse 5. Look on the screen, please. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. We should be diligent to study what we can and try to understand what is needed for ministry, but our confidence should never be in ourselves. Our confidence should never be in how smart we are. But Mike, our confidence has got to be in God. It's got to be in God. We look forward to this week coming. It's a Share-a-thon week. We're trying to raise money for the radio stations up here and down in Coshocton. We're trying to get everything going. But we've got to depend upon God. Our ministry right here must depend upon God. It's not the wisdom of a man. It's not the wisdom of a leadership. It's the wisdom of God. Oh, how we need God. I read the story of Herbert Jackson. You may have never heard this story, but I thought it was so funny. He was a new missionary, and he got a car handed to him as he took his mission field. And they said the car wouldn't start. Well, he found a way to get that car started, had a clutch. So he'd have a bunch of guys push it. He popped the clutch, and you know how that does, and starts the car, right? How many of you have ever done that before in your life? Have you done that? Yeah. So he said he went around, and for 2 years, he had the old car, and he'd sit on a hill, and he'd jump in, push it down the hill, jump in it, and pop the clutch, and start it. He had some guys push it and start it. After about 2 years of doing that kind of stuff, he got real sick, had to come off the mission field. The new missionary came, and he was showing him about his car, and he said, now listen, I don't have much, but this car does work. It works fine. You just put the gas in it. All you got to do is pop the clutch. I can't get it started. It won't start. But he said, it'll work for you. You got to push it, and it'll start. The new missionary said, well, wonder what's wrong with it. He said, I don't know. He said, it runs, so you just got to push it. New missionary looked under the hood and found a wire that was loose. And said, here, I think the problem's right here. If you tighten this cable up, I think it'd be fine. So he tightened the cable up, got in the car, turned it on, took right off. You know what that teaches me? For 2 years, a guy was depending on his own skill. Popping the clutch, pushing the car. For 2 years, you're pushing the car, popping the clutch. But all you had to do is just get the right connection. Hold it. I preached a whole series of sermons called Staying Connected. Get connected. Do you know that's our problem? Our problem in a lot of church work is we're doing a lot of church work in man's own flesh. We're doing all the stuff, and there's a loose cable. There's a loose connection. Listen, we need to somehow stay connected to God. And as we are connected to God, the power that we need will be there. Stay connected. Stay connected. Amazing power. Number 3, available people. I said number 1. Anybody report to me what I said number 1? There's 3 things. We have a what? An astounding problem. Everybody say it, please. We have an astounding problem. But number 2, we have amazing power. Listen, we still have an astounding problem. But we have amazing power. Here's my question as I end this message up. Do we have available people? Number three, available people. Only when we face astounding problems are we able to see God's amazing power. God has given us an amazing power to overcome the astounding problems. Thank God for that. But He is looking for, everybody listen, available people. I want you to think about this a moment. There's no power shortage with God, is there? Let me ask you, everybody, is there any power shortage with Almighty God? Is there any, over here, is there any power shortage with Almighty God? God has all the power that we need to do everything He's asked us to do. It's not that. You know, our basketball team, I wish I had a big guy like Joel, this team over here. Wish I had shooters like these boys. Hey, fellas, I say, who's Tyler? You're graduating, aren't you? You're not graduated yet. Would you like to move to Clyde? That'd be awesome. I mean, I'm recruiting. Brother Brozier, just thank you, sir. Those guys can flat shoot now. I need a shooter. I need about a 6'8 guy, too. If you guys find one, let me know. About 6'8. I'll take a 6'6 guy, but 6'8 would be great. Hey, we have an astounding problem. We have amazing power. But do we have available people? In Zechariah's day, God found two men whom He could fill with His Spirit. Many Christians are passionate about earthly matters, but few long for the presence of God. Now listen to me closely. I'm preaching my heart right here. There's so many people that have so much energy for the world. And I tell my fellows who play basketball, fellows, I want you to be aggressive and run and shoot and learn how. But you guys got to remember, Jesus Christ comes first in your life. We have a lot of strength, a lot of energy for everything else in the world except for the presence of God. In Zechariah's day, God found these two men, Joshua the high priest and Zerubbabel the governor, were used to strengthen and lead Judah. They became God's conduit for their country. The call of God is different on every person, I understand that, but the same anointing is available to every person who believes. God's promise is if we will be right, believe right, and seek God's power, then God, through His will provide light and blessing through our lives to the whole world. This is an era that we live in that demands leadership. But the demand far exceeds the supply. One of the problems with our country, our great country, is lack of real leadership. You look at the Democratic ticket or the Republican ticket, doesn't matter. The reason we're in a mess we are is because for years we have had no strong leadership. That's our problem. And then I look at our churches, and some of our churches are so anemic and so weak because we don't have the leadership we should have. And because we don't have that leadership, we don't have the fellowship we should have. So God's kingdom hurts. We have an astounding problem. But we have an amazing power. Do we have, right here, available people? Didn't you think last night was a wonderful meal that was provided at our sports banquet? Somebody took time to work on that. And all those folks in the kitchen, I think, when I left, they made a marvelous donation to our ministry here, having such a wonderful meal last night at that sports banquet. Our workers are amazing here. Available. Available people. Instead of standing for truth, religious leaders stand by and ask God to bless wickedness. Listen, folks, it's wickedness when we are ordaining homosexuals. That's wickedness. It's wickedness when we talk and put in offices, governors, or whoever else that are living those kinds of lifestyles, and preachers are praying the prayer over them. That's wickedness. Our country's allowing all that stuff. Everyone who has a God-given responsibility needs God's power. Whether you're a pastor of a church like I am, or a daddy, or a parent of a small child, you're a husband or a wife, you need God's power. You really do. To fulfill your God-given role, God is looking for servants to empower. Robert Murray McShane said, "In great measure, according to the purity and perfections of the instrument, will be the success. It is not great talents that God blesses so much as great likeness to Jesus." Do you understand this? It's not great talent, great power, great wisdom. It's God blesses those who are like Jesus. Wow. No matter the adversity, God provides assurance to his servants. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 on the screen, verse number 9. Remember when the Apostle Paul had this little problem, he had this thorn in the flesh, and he prayed for it 3 times. And he prayed and prayed and prayed and asked God to remove. He asked the Lord to remove that heavy burden. And he saith unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Vance Havner, again, wrote about the dangers of artificial strength. And I want to read exactly what he said. I wrote it down. "We say we depend on the Holy Spirit, but actually we are so wired up with our own devices that if the fire does not fall from heaven, we can turn on a switch and produce false fire of our own." Now, isn't that awful? But Vance Havner is exactly right. If we don't get the Holy Spirit moving, we'll flip a switch in a church service and cause it to happen, even though it's not God's fire. God save us from synthetic Pentecost. We don't need synthetic Holy Spirit. We need a real touch of God. God, fill us. I'm a daddy, I'm a mommy, I'm a grandpa, I'm a grandmother, I'm a pastor of a church, I'm a leader in the community. You need God's power. I'm going to ask the musicians if they'll come. We don't want to see what can be done. We want to see what God can do. I think God is capable, don't you? But here's the question. Are we available? Can I ask you this question? Do we have an astounding problem in our day? Is sin an astounding problem, yes or no? Do we have amazing power? We have a problem, but we have this amazing power, do we not? Here's all that God wants. Okay, I understand. God says you have an astounding problem. I understand that. But I've got this amazing power, and I want to give it to you. All I need is available people who will take that message, run with that message, give that message out to tell others about the Lord Jesus, to help your family. God is so capable, but are we available? Will we submit ourselves to his will and abandon our own schemes? Or have we neglected God's filling? We cannot cut ourselves off from the source and expect his Spirit to work through us. It's time to get connected to the source. One little humorous thing I read about Lawrence of Arabia. Because of the trust of many Arab tribes, the famous British scholar, soldier Lawrence of Arabia, participated in the Paris peace talks after World War I. I thought this was so cute. They stayed on the same hotel there in Paris. And when they went to the bathrooms, they were astounded. The men were, they could turn a faucet on and water came out. They couldn't believe it. They'd never seen anything like that before. They went to the bathtub and turned the faucet on and water came out. They couldn't believe it. So when they were getting ready to leave, Lawrence noticed that many of his men had taken apart the faucets and put them in a bag. And he called him and said, what are you doing? He said, "Wow, you turn these things on and water comes out." They were going to take them back so they could have water where they lived. It's not the faucet. It's not the dial. It's not the, no. You know what it is? It's the connection. So he told him, he said, no, you take that back home and do it all you want, but nothing's going to come out because you've got to be connected to the water source. Ladies and gentlemen, what are we substituting for being connected to the source? Don't know about you, but my life, I want my life, I want my church's life, Brother John, to be connected to the source. God, if we're connected to the source, you will meet every single need we have. Yes, we have a problem. Yes, we have some things we've got to do, but there's an amazing power. God has given us the power for everything we need. All we need now is available people to stay connected to the source. Let's stand together, shall we? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.